Praise God.
Amen.
Been a bit of a challenging day, but you know, I think that just means that something good is going to happen. The devil don't want it to happen.
That's right.
Amen.
So, we look forward to what you're going to do, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you that everybody is here safely. We ask that you comfort those who are not here with us today, that would like to be, that you bring them peace and bring them back to us. As we open your word today, Lord, I pray that we would feel the love of the Heavenly Father and know how much that you love and care for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Parents know a thing or two about sacrifice. Don't have any personal experience with this, but I think sleep might be the first thing to go.
Yeah.
You hear the stories about the crying baby, and then as they grow up, you lose it to worrying about how they're doing, whether everything's okay. Then they get to be teenagers, and you just thought you had it bad.
Yeah, let's do that one.
But then there's the money. It costs money to have kids. You got to meet the basic needs, of course, and that means you sacrifice the things you want. And then there's time. Kids need your time. I'm so thankful that my father took time for me. And I remember a couple of instances stick out. One in particular, though, that sticks out. And he must have just known. I was at school, and I went to the office, and I said, I don't feel good. I need to go home. I don't remember what Dad was doing at the time, but it's something that gave him some freedom. And he came, picked me up from school. He knew I wasn't sick, but he didn't get on to me. We just went to the arcade. I think we got some ice cream. I don't remember what all we did. But he just, he knew that that's what I really needed. And, you know, that's something that the parents know. You've got to spend time, or should know, time is translated into love for your kids. But there's less of it for yourself when you do that, and less of it for each other. Some people might also add peace and sanity to those things that get sacrificed. But why do you do it? You do it because you love. And it's all worth it because you love. But what if the sacrifice that you're called to make is your child? And this is not actually, it's not so hard perhaps for some to imagine. In one sense, every parent has to do this in that they have to, at some point, let their child go to be an adult. Let them grow up. Let them go ahead and make their mistakes and grow into their own person. Sometimes maybe get hurt because you can't protect them for their whole life. You're not going to be there for their whole life. And then in an even more real way are those whose children head off to the military. And they don't come back. But Abraham was asked to do this in a very literal way. We probably all grew up hearing the story, if you grew up in church anyway.
Yeah.
Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. And it must have seemed to him to make a mockery of all that God had already told him. It's his only legitimate child. God didn't even call him his only son, although he did have another one by Hagar. This was the child of promise. It was given to him by miracle when both him and Sarah were in their old age. And God already promised to make him a nation through Isaac. In Genesis 21:12, among other places. But how does Abraham respond? Well, we don't have any, we're not given any sort of a view into what might have gone through his head. We might imagine We can imagine anger, disbelief, even rebellion against the whole idea. But what does Abraham do? All we're told is that Abraham obeys. He gets up the next morning and he goes. And it is, and this is what I want you to see today, it is a beautiful foreshadowing of what Father God is going to do for us with Jesus. So with that, the story goes on through verse 18, but I'm not going to read all of it because we've only got so much time. I'm just going to read in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so the two of them walked on together. Now this verse, this passage starts out with after these things. Well, what are these things? They're kind of important, so we'll talk a little bit about what they are. Of course, Isaac is born. We've already talked a little bit about how he's the child that was promised to Abraham and Sarah. And his name means he laughs, because both of his parents laughed at the idea that they would have a child. But now they laugh for joy because God kept his promise. Ishmael, the child that was born when Sarah gave her maidservant to Abraham to try to help God out a little. At this point that Ishmael and Hagar are banished and sent away, and God says, It's okay, I'll take care of them, but your promise is coming through Isaac. It's also at this time that he makes a treaty with Abimelech of the Philistines. And that's important because it shows that Abraham's rights to the land there are recognized. And Israel is going to return to this place in the future. Of course, the Philistines are also going to be one of their most bitter enemies. But Abraham's is recognized here as having a right to the land. God's going to keep his promise. But now, God tells him something that seems to put all of that in question. He says, That son I gave you, I want him back. Again, we're not told what Abraham's inner thoughts are. We can imagine what they might be, a little confusion, a little anger, maybe even a sense of betrayal. What is this? But we know what he chose to do. Chose to obey God. And actually, I think we do have a little bit of a picture into at least where his thoughts arrived, even if it took maybe a little bit to get there. Because Abraham was a man of faith. And we can see it in this account. I used to think when he said, we're going to, you know, we're going to go away and we're going to come back. That he's just lying again, you know, like he did with Sarah. He knows what he's got to do, but he didn't want to tell them that's what he's going to do. But that's not the case. And the reason why I believe that's not the case is that he actually believed that he was coming back with Isaac. He was about to go. He was about to sacrifice his son. He really believed that. He's got the knife. He's got the fire. And he goes through with it up until God stops him. But here's why I believe he knew that somehow or other God was going to make good on his promise, even despite what he's about to do. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. And we won't go there, but basically it says that he knew that if it was necessary, God could raise Isaac from the dead. And then, as they're walking on, we didn't read this far, but a few verses later, as they're walking on, and Isaac gets curious, saying, wait a minute, we got all the stuff here, where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God will provide a lamb. Maybe at this point, he is trying to avoid saying what's going to happen, but eventually, when he gets to where they're going, and he ties him up and lays him on the altar, it's going to become kind of obvious. But I think about Abraham. Of course, we're focused today on the father. But I can't imagine being Isaac in this situation. What must be going through his head? But this statement that Abraham makes is, of course, also prophetic. God is going to provide a lamb. He's literally going to provide a lamb in a few minutes here as he, you know, he gets ready to sacrifice and God stops him and they find the ram in the bushes. But God is, of course, also going to provide the lamb for all of us.
Amen.
This is a beautiful picture of Jesus. If you look at this, and these are things I never saw before, but if you look, it says that in verse 6, he laid the wood for the sacrifice on his son. Don't know exactly how old his son was, but obviously old enough to carry a big load. And so, just as Jesus carried his own cross, Isaac here is carrying the wood for the sacrifice that he is going to be laid on. And Abraham is prepared to sacrifice His only legitimate son, I guess is the way to put that. But he receives him back because God actually stops him. He receives him back as a type. That's what the verse in Hebrews tells us. That this is a picture of the restoration, of the salvation, of the resurrection that's going to happen. So he builds the altar and he puts his son on it, and God speaks again as he prepares to actually plunge the knife, not the knife, and says, stop. I know now that you're not going to withhold your son. There's nothing you're going to withhold from me. And because of that, I'm going to do what I said I would do, because that's the kind of person you are. That testing, you know, that this is just coming at me as I'm saying this. I didn't put it in my notes. But it's not like God needed to know. God knew everything. God knows our character. God knows who we are. This test was not for God. It was for Abraham.
Amen.
God knew what Abraham was going to do, but Abraham needed to know what Abraham was going to do.
Amen.
But God's purpose now is revealed. And God, you know, it's a test for Abraham because God has given him everything. He has abundant riches. We read about that back in Genesis 13. He's extremely well-to-do, so much so that he and his nephew had to split up because they had too much. They couldn't share the same land. He now has a son that God gave him to inherit everything. And he has the respect and the ownership of the land. He has a treaty with the inhabitants of the land. He has the rights there to be there. And so God's now asking him, are you going to give me the thing that you love the most? But it's a picture for us of redemption. Abraham was willing to give up his beloved son. Now he believed, I really think, based on what we have here, that he did believe God was going to make this right somehow, but he still had to do it. He still had to be willing to do it. And what would that conversation with Isaac must have been like afterwards? But then God reaffirms the promise that he made. And I didn't put it up here, but in verses 16 through 18, he says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed on as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies.
Amen.
In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you obeyed my voice. What is most precious to you? Is it some item, something of value? Maybe a piece of jewelry, maybe a family heirloom. For some guys, it might be a car. For some people, it might be a home. I know that for me, when I bought the house I live in now, there was a... I was thinking about the idea of dedicating it to the Lord. And something in me stood and rose up a little bit against that. Well, I don't think I want to do that. Well, that was when I knew I had to do that. I had to at least say the words, Lord, it's yours. If you want to take it away from me, it's yours. It was an issue of pride for me. I was over-impressed with myself that I could have a house like that. But and even now, it's frightening to me to think that he might want me to give that up because it's become more than just a house. I was trying to sell it not long after I got it. But now it's become home. Right. We like where we live. I'm comfortable there. It's become somewhere I want to stay. But I had to say, Lord, and I have to say, Lord, my life is yours, everything I have is yours.
Amen.
For some people, it's money. For other people, it's an occupation. That becomes wrapped up in who they are, or their social status. Or maybe it's family. Jesus addressed that. He said, you've got to love me so much that what you have for your family looks like hate. Luke 14:26, might be Matthew 2. Matthew 10:37 does say this, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But he asks no more of us than the Father has already given. And are we willing to give it up if he asks? But what's even greater here, I couldn't leave that out because it's there. But what's even greater here is the picture of the Father. The picture of the Father and the Son. Abraham loves his son. All of his hopes and dreams are tied up in his son. But yet he loved God enough to give him up. Our Heavenly Father loved his Son with a perfect love. We don't even have any way to comprehend what that is like. They're in complete unity. They're so close, they're like one. They are one. They think and act as one. It's hard for us even to understand that. It's hard for us to relate to that Trinitarian God that we know and that we serve. But we can relate to Abraham. We can imagine what he's going through, and it puts a human face on Father God, if you will. But he loved us. Father God loved us enough to sacrifice his own Son to gain us. And as we think about Isaac, who's carrying the wood on which he would be sacrificed, just as Jesus carried his cross. Now, we can only take that analogy so far, but he is restored. He's restored in a sense to his Father in a type of the resurrection. Hebrews tells us that, and in another sense, his redemption, his salvation, represents us, as in when God provided the Lamb to go in his place. Jesus, God made like us. We've been talking a lot about that. I wonder if he might have experienced something a little like what Isaac was experiencing on that altar. As he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But yet he was willing to die to save us.
Amen.
The Father's ultimate sacrifice so that we too can become his children. I know that for many of us, our fathers have gone home. For some of us, our fathers maybe were not the example that we might have hoped for, that we might have longed for. But know always that your Heavenly Father loves you deeply and eternally.
Amen.
And know always that he longs to be with you. And it is my prayer as we close out today, Lord, that you wrap your arms around those who are hurting, who did not feel that, who didn't get that love that is supposed to be represented by our earthly fathers. That you would wrap your arms around them, that you would bring people into their lives to put skin on that love, if you will. And we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made so that we could all become your children if we're just willing to accept Jesus as Lord. It's by that mighty name that we can come to you and that we can pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.